Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
You can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too if you would like. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And we're going to have a little fun here on Good Things today on this beautiful Friday. You can join the conversation on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. But like we always say here on Good Things, we'd love to have you over on the Good Things Facebook group. It's our ever-growing family there. If you're going to be scrolling on this book of faces, you might as well have some positivity in your feed, and that's what we try to do there. So go ahead and take some time. If you're not driving and you're not a part of our family, join us by typing Good Things with Rebecca Turner. That's
this show was previously recorded.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app and your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us, too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. Today, we're catching up with one of our Good Things favorites, Kevin Brown. He's an author, a community advocate, and cultural preservation leader. I like that one. He's got a new book out, and he joins us about once a year for what, the last three years.
This is our anniversary
to catch us up for what the good things you're doing out in Macon. So welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. I was telling you off air how much gratitude I have for you offering the platform to share some positive things from Macon.
From Macomb and beyond, and there's so many good things going on. You know, a couple years ago, you found yourself here talking about Gertrude's Garden, which is your community space there in Macomb. Mm-hmm. Are we done for the season? Are we planting any winter crops? How's the garden going?
So we did a major fall planting, which was all greens, collards, turnips, mustard. With the temperature kind of hovering the way that it is, those are really cold weather fall plants. So there's always an opportunity. I call the garden a little bit of a laboratory, because you have the opportunity to experiment in places where people say, well, it's too late to do that. We just go and see what happens.
So what's in the ground there now?
Or it's all greens.
It's all greens, as you just said. Yeah. When should they start coming up? When should the harvest
be? They're up now. Yeah, we got some nice tender mustard greens that are popping up, so people go through and they harvest it at whenever they want to.
Okay.
So there's no standard protocol. Once they're developed enough for someone to make a pot of them, then that's what they do.
Has Gertrude's Garden now been in Macomb and in that community long enough that people just like it, it's grown its own roots as terms as the community has taken it over?
Yes. So as far as my part, basically I was just the founder. And with it being a community garden in the purest organic sense, grassroots sense, that anybody that wants to participate can. So that mantra, that approach has allowed people to have more buy-in and freedom. It's a space of freedom, right? So whatever your contribution is or whatever you harvest, it's just there for that. And it's modeled after the community's culture, because we talked about it the mm-hmm. first time, and I talked about cultural humility. So in certain spaces, people might think that's an odd thing, you know. They didn't plant that. Why should they harvest, you know, the crops, or vice versa? So, but in that space, it's all about what the people decide to do and how they operate together.
And I think that's what's missing in a lot of community garden projects. Kevin, I've worked with and alongside or understand or know many throughout the state. I would say Gertrude's is probably one of the among the most successful, because you started with the people first and sort of what do they want, and having that buy-in. Oftentimes, you know, you can go in with good intentions and plant a garden, but if you're too, I won't say like rigid with it, but if there's no sense of like, that truly is my space, mm-hmm. then the people willfully take or enjoy what's produced, but they don't feel that ownership to it.
True.
Then the person who starts it gets tired of doing it. Gets tired of doing it.
You
found that like magical, I guess, balance mm-hmm. With Gertrude's Garden. And once it truly grows roots in the community, then and they feel safe and comfortable to come in and plant and take and do, then mm-hmm. you'll see it keep growing and thriving, which I think is, I mean, more people should study the approach to that to make more green spaces in other communities. Because it's not just as easy as coming in, plowing down a lot, and building a garden. There's way more to it than that.
Yeah, there's a lot of human interaction with it. That's probably the most important component, is understanding the human component of it. Because our two phrases, planting seeds of hope and together we grow, I repeat that all the time because it's a mantra and it's mental programming. Mm-hmm. Together we grow means everybody has a hand in it, whether that's a sorority, fraternity, a faith-based group, the school district, together, everyone, right? And then planting seeds of hope, realizing that the relationships are the most important ingredient in it. It's not the greens, it's not the flowers, it's not even the art out there. It's the concept of believing in unity in the community. And actually personifying it, you know. So Thanksgiving, you asked me about it. We have an annual Thanksgiving meal. This was the 5th. So it was on the 22nd, the Saturday. And this year, we usually do a meal, which we ask people to participate and bring it out there. And you get a lot of community partners besides the residents that are immediately around the space. But this year, someone introduced a concept called a thrift store fashion show. So she reached out to the local thrift store and said, we want to allow our models to come shop for their outfits that they were going to mm-hmm. wear in the fashion show, right? And we had a talent showcase. So it really was a mini festival. So each year, and that's the whole thing about being open to things, because you could stay in that mindset and say, well, we're just going to do the food thing. That's been successful. Over mm-hmm. 200 people fed each time, right? That's a thing. Is established, but just being open to those other people's ideas, and they let them, mm-hmm. you know. She recruited the models. She coordinated the thrift store shopping day. She curated it, right? So she did her thing. And that was the first time she had ever done it. And that's the thing about fear or failure. Sometimes that's why people don't engage things, even with the garden. What if you just keep saying all the negative things that are going to happen? What about all the positive things that are going to happen? So it's a mindset, I believe. And I use one of your lines all the time.
Oh, which one?
Yeah, don't make a mountain out of no hills.
Oh, yeah.
Not molehills. And I say it in my presentations and all the time, because sometimes you get that analysis paralysis. You think about stuff so much to where you can't even act.
Yeah.
You know?
When I can't, you know, I over the years here on Good Things, how many people have come who've wound up doing extraordinary projects, programs, or community, activities that all just started with like a simple idea. Mm-hmm. And I really think too that the part of the beauty in it, Kevin, is that if you had seen where you would be 3 or 4 years after Gertrude's mm-hmm. garden started, it would have scared you to not even mm-hmm. begin, because it's just one thing after the other. But you just had that simple idea mm-hmm. of using the space that you had there for something for the community. If it fails, it fails. If not, let's just take it to that next, you know. And I think sort of taking that first step is such a important piece. As you were sitting there thinking about the thrift store, why is that hard? Thrift
I know, I had to
store.
Pause.
fashion show.
Yeah.
You maybe the next thing is having like a cooking contest, but mm-hmm. with like keeping the meal like $10 or less.
Mm-hmm. Put it on a budget because it teaches you that.
Yeah, and that it can still taste good and
healthy
then it can,
options.
Healthy options in that way, because yeah. I mean, man, that helps everybody at this point.
It does.
And then prove that you can go in and buy things on a budget and it still be flavorful and nutritious for your family.
And it's intentional, because you have to think about the space that it's in. It's in a housing project area, so the food source is a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you do, the thrift store, fashion, shopping, you know, and things like that, it has to be intentional to make sense of the space. Otherwise, you're just doing things, you know. So to be effective and connected to what the actual environment is, it just fits the purpose a lot better.
So
it
suits,
it fits the people a lot.
How did the residents and the community respond to the fashion show? Did they go buy all the clothes?
Yeah, they had a blast. And she also brought some clothes out there so people could just show up on the spot and participate. Mm-hmm. So we're out in an outdoor space, and I told her, you know, you're going to need some partitions for people to change. So she actually, we have a structure now, an overhead structure. She actually put some sheets up and made four corners, and people went into the dressing room and just came out so everybody could participate without having been previously listed to do it. Somebody could just walk up and say, oh, I want to do it.
The best made to order.
This show was previously recorded.
Here comes more with Rebecca Turner.
It is not every day that you find a woman like that.
This is Good Things on the SuperTalk app, supertalk.fm, and on your local SuperTalk Mississippi radio station.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live, as always, over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that SuperTalk Mississippi app and your local SuperTalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us, too, if you would like. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to SuperTalk TV. We're continuing our conversation with Kevin Brown. He has recently wrote a new book, Outside the Walls, Reclaiming History with Community Spaces. I love this, Kevin. So you get about a book a year in, you said.
I do, and it kind of goes along with what you were saying about trying something,
mm-hmm.
Because they're all lived experiences. All of my books kind of record the evolution of things. So it started out with the garden,
mm-hmm.
then it went to the greater neighborhood historical context, then it went to art and advocacy, how we use art as an advocacy tool, love, connection, and freedom, which I co-wrote with my wife. That's our theme. That's how we live, love, connection, and freedom. And then this one, Outside the Walls, when I became the director of the Black History Gallery in Macomb. So it's all lived experience. And I'm just documenting those things that I've learned, reflections, even questions that I have about it when I'm reflecting on those things. So as long as I'm living, I guess I'll keep on writing.
Do you get your next idea when the one you're working on is done, or do you already know what you're going to do in 2026, Kevin?
So I don't know directly what the next thing is going to be. What's going to happen is, and what's been happening is, it's revealed in the process of the thing that I'm working on. It's like another door opens as I'm traveling along in my purpose. That's how it works. That's why I feel so comfortable with it. I don't really have to think about it. As long as I'm walking in my purpose, the next steps are just revealed, and I go into a whole new arena, a whole new network of people that are aligned with those things. So that's how it works. So that gives me the confidence and confirmation that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, because I don't even have to.
How did you find yourself in the position of the director of the Black History Gallery there in Macomb?
Personal interest in history.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not from Macomb. So the journey kind of went, when I did move there, I was looking for some place to belong as far as my schedule and things, activities. With me retiring from the Air Force, I kind of had a regimented lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
schedule of things. So as I was going throughout the community, I came across a storyboard. It was a blues trail marker, and it was talking about Summit Street. And it was a hopping spot back in the day, part of the Chitlin Circuit, Mississippi Blues Trail. So I was reading this about this neighborhood, and you know, Red Fox was there, B.B. King played there, all these professional entertainers right here in this neighborhood. So as I started learning about the neighborhood, I'm driving around and I see this little house, and it says Black History Gallery. I already have an affinity for history. So I kept going by because it was never open mm-hmm. when I was going by. And once I did, I met the founder, Miss Hilda Kaysen. She just passed away this year, September 26, I believe. She was 95 years old. Mm-hmm. She was the founder. So every week I would go over there and just sit with her and learn the history that she would share. And then I started finding more context clues of things. But my thing was, it's kind of difficult to know these things, even if you live here. Mm-hmm. So that's why Reclaiming History with Community Spaces kind of came into my thought process. So since that time, identifying spaces, or even just knowing what the street name is, you know, what's the history behind it, that I talked about in the St. Augustine book. So it just led me on this journey to ensure that history is in public accessible places, not just inside the walls.
Right.
Outside the walls, outside of the Black History Gallery, outside of the two Mississippi museums. When you walk around, it's okay to have context for what the culture of that area is. So that's basically what it's about. Reveals how everyday spaces, parks, murals, gardens, churches, galleries, abandoned lots, and historic sites can be engines of cultural memory, community healing, and civic pride.
So as it reads, Kevin, is it going through different spots there in Macomb and sort of sharing its history? Or are you giving people the ideas of how to bring that out in their own communities? Or a little bit of both, maybe?
A little bit of both. The introduction starts out with pretty much a dedication to Miss Kaysen and mm-hmm. the Black History Gallery, because mm-hmm. it's really an organic space. It is a 501c3, but like I said, it was just an abandoned house. It was a drug house.
I was going to say, well, give us the history of the house.
Yeah, it was just a drug house across the street from her house. And she kept calling the police because of the activity that was going on. Once it was vacated completely, she actually purchased it. After she retired from educating for over 50 years, a lot of those archives, old yearbooks from pre-integration schools locally, right? They didn't have any place to put them. They were just going to throw them away. So she started collecting them in her house. And then she transformed it into the Black History Gallery. So I said it looks like a house because it's pretty small, 1,200 square feet or so. So that's the history of the actual physical space. So over the years, 2001 she founded it. We're going into 2026. So in the course of that happening, my interest in it developed into a relationship to where I was the director in waiting. So when she transitioned, I just moved directly into that position. So
I'm bringing your fresh ideas and mm-hmm. new thoughts forward. So what's next for the Black History Gallery there in Macomb?
The next thing is to make it more of a living archive. So we're going to be doing oral history projects where we invite community members in just to share the story of how they grew up. Just starting with that. Mm-hmm. I do have some question prompts and things like that, but that's the gist of it, is to get them into the space, make them a part of it, kind of the same as the garden concept. Mm-hmm. You know, together we grow, planting seeds of history, you know, but more buy-in. And
is it within walking distance of the garden? Is it close? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's still in the same sort
of like community. So the dividing street between Wall Street and Gertrude's Garden Alley, the street was then renamed after the garden, is Summit Street. That blues trail, the Chitlin Circuit, uh-huh. Mississippi Blues Trail is between the Black History Gallery and the garden. So really we're bridging across, you know, the culture of that community.
I bet those community members, Kevin, would have lots of artifacts.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's newspaper articles or magazines mm-hmm. or mementos or outfits, or I mean, there's so many different things that they would love to see be preserved and mm-hmm. carried on mm-hmm. and donate those to the gallery or mm-hmm. the museum to sort of help with your efforts. It can be hard if you let go of things that were maybe family connected, but when you know that they're going to live on past you and help share the story, people, I'm always amazed at people who are willing just to hand things over to museums. But I mean, maybe because maybe I don't have something that cool in my, I'm sure I do, but I just don't realize it.
One of the themes of the book is that we're all curators.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we become that if we don't, aren't able to participate? So someone that has their mother's apron, that has a old recipe written on the back of it, or a church fan, things that people typically disregard, it puts so much context to the local community because it connects the dots. You know, you don't find out that back in 1930, these people were friends until you look at an old obituary and see who the pallbearers were and things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's so many ways to context. And since it's a 501c3, but since I'm a grassroots person, people are going to see a more authentic connection to the local history than before. Because I like to work across all different spectrums. I don't have a particular network that I work with. I work with everybody, right? So did Ms. Kaysen, but with our educator background, it was more educator centric, you know. So, and that's great.
You know, Ms. Kaysen's story is exactly like yours. I mean, mm-hmm. if she had no idea that mm-hmm. at 95 she'd be passing on this home for it to be continuing down, she just recognized a need there across the street from her. And it could have been a little selfish. I'm sure she just wanted that house so it didn't become, you know, something else.
What it had become, yeah.
Yeah, what it had become, which is admirable. But she recognized, hey, I can do this one small thing mm-hmm. by collecting yearbooks. And mm-hmm. then that sort of snowballed into, you know, passing the baton to the next person to be able to finish that.
And the same thing happened with the garden. The garden was something someone passed on to me to pay the taxes on a mutual. We had the same grandmother. And
well, it wasn't the garden, it was the lot, right?
The lot, yeah. It wasn't the garden then, yeah.
Because that sounds like, hey, can you take this garden?
Yeah, can you take this garden over? Yeah, this trash lot. But it was, initially it wasn't about being a garden. I got an ordinance letter saying they were going to fine me $500 if I didn't clean it up. So, and I had just signed it over. And I got this letter. That's what drove me to act on clearing it.
Which
fast.
Then led to where we're at now. We've got more with Kevin Brown coming up next.
This show was previously recorded.
Rebecca Turner.
She's amazing.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on that computer, that mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And Ole Miss will host its first ever college football playoff game next Saturday. I bet you didn't know that. You needed me to tell you, right? Sports Talk Mississippi will be at the library on the square in Oxford on Thursday and Friday, where you'll hear from coaches, former players, and more as we get you ready for one of the biggest games in Ole Miss history. Our coverage is brought to you by Pearl River Resort, your destination for casino thrills, family fun, and southern hospitality. And you'll have more with that with the boys coming up next with Sports Talk. But here on Good Things, we are continuing our conversation with Kevin Brown. He's an author, as I mentioned, a community advocate. And I love this last one that you put, cultural preservation leader. And you're doing that with your new book, Outside the Walls. On the back, I was looking at it, and it says, Outside the Walls, Falls is a powerful exploration of how everyday people are reshaping historical memory beyond traditional institutions. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, you are one who is absolutely doing that in Macomb. But you're right. There's so many folks listening to good things in their own communities, doing it in their own way. Yep. They just may not realize they're doing that. So what are some of those everyday examples of everyday people who are already doing this work but may not realize that that's what they're doing?
Well, when we were off the air, we were talking about things that matter to us mm-hmm. that may not matter to other people. So my examples that I use were my parents. And holding on to things and kind of sharing the story of why they connect to it. So my grandmother's Bible, Gertrude, I never met her. We end up naming the garden after reclaiming the space that our store was on. But I have her Bible. So that's my connection to her, that physical archive. So that's just something like the items that you have from your grandparents and your mm-hmm. mother. That's why they mean those things to you, because that's all you have. That's all I have of her physically. But I could tell a lot about her just from the type of Bible that she had. It's pearl covered. You know, it's small, it could fit in her purse. And during this journey of learning about her through Gertrude's Garden, her home church is like a block from there. I discovered that like 2 years ago. So I went there to tell them about garden initiatives, and they said, you know, your grandmother used to belong to this church. I didn't know that. And we were talking, and these people are in their 70s now. Probably going.
How old would Gertrude, your grandmother,
be? She'd be like,
I'm gonna guess over 100.
Yeah, well over 100, 120, something like that.
So that means, I was trying to do the math, that means they were young when
they
she
were
was,
kids.
They were kids when
yeah,
she was
young. And they remember,
remember,
they shared, yeah. they remember that she would bring them peppermint candy and stuff like that.
Good church lady.
Yeah. And we have a relationship just because of that.
Yeah.
Just because that she was a member of there and I stumbled upon the church. So when I see the pastors and stuff out in town at the grocery store, I feel like I know them just because of that connection. So for me, the personal things that people do, they form connections.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you were around that person or not, they kind of serve as a segue or some form of continuity or bond between generations. So the people that are out there doing that, we're doing it in our own ways. There's going to be things that we leave for those that come behind us that'll tell a little bit of our story or a little bit of context of who we were, whether they get to meet us or not. You know?
I think, too, this also encourages you to be curious sort of about your own history and mm-hmm. and your family in that sort of way outside of the walls, again, meaning like getting outside of the museums or getting outside of just, you know what, and bringing it out into the open so more mm-hmm. people can see it. Because you're right, there's so many listening who live in the state of Mississippi or live in communities with phenomenal museums, and we're all mm-hmm. guilty of not being visitors of our own town mm-hmm. or not, you know, mm-hmm. because it's right there and taking that for granted. But if it was more in our everyday spaces and mm-hmm. everyday faces, then we would be more likely to stop and think about it. So the book, you mentioned, obviously the introduction kind of gives you how you got to where you are in this chapter of life. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the book, how does it read for those that are interested in it? Is it like gives them a guide on how to do this?
Exactly. It gives them a guide from my perspective, but it also borrows from other people's perspectives to make it more well-rounded. A lot of strategies of how to capture those things.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're talking about history, obviously we have the technology to do things a lot differently than we did before, you know, storing, like I said, obituaries and Bibles and stuff like that. But it probably has some notes on there to give you context of what was going on. But now with the internet and all the tools that we have, it even goes into that and how to empower youth to be a part of it, because it's great that we do it, at least me going on getting to middle age. But how does that tradition and techniques get passed on?
We just had a great conversation with our oldest. You know, you can't fault them for not knowing what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they, most of our children have only known, you know, a really cush life, so to speak, right?
For sure.
And when we sat down, it was just, she got curious asking about grandparents. And I was like, you know, your Nana, which would be my mom, my grandparents worked in factories and was a preacher and like barely scraped by to give my mom the opportunity to go, you know, get a little better, who used that opportunity to then, my mom could never fathom a life that I'm leading. My grandparents could never fathom the life that I'm giving my kids, you know, and like, but they don't know that. If you don't share that or show that or somehow connect with that, they just think that everybody's like lived of like, you know, whatever life, or not realizing generationally a family can go up or down or get stuck, right? And sharing that kind of historical perspective to them can be very humbling, but then also give them the gratitude for all that came before to get where they're at now. At least that's the way I feel.
That's how I feel too. So in the dedication part of the book, I talk about my parents in the same way that you're talking about your lineage and the experiences that they had. So for me, it was very, I've never written about my parents in detail. Not even using.
Are they still with you?
No.
Okay.
Not even using. Yeah.
Let them go first.
Not even using their, you know, their whole name. So that was just like a whole new experience tapping into something, because most of my work, it's all nonfiction, so it doesn't have the emotion that, you know, fiction has sometimes. So for me, it was just a journey into understanding how I got to where I am. And my thought process, because my mom was really big on genealogy. She wouldn't know what that word means. It never came out of her mouth. But family lineage and relatives and things like that, she would recite them so much to where it's programmed in my brain. I know how I'm related to people and things like that. So that's something I'd always talk about with my either my kids or my nieces and nephews, to tell them how they're related to people, keeping that genealogy thing going. So that's a gift. I feel it's a gift that they passed down to me, even though my dad wasn't like that. He has a whole nother section where I talk about him, but just being appreciative of the things that they passed down, whether they were physical material or not.
You know, you talk about the family Bible. I have my grandfather's, and I opened it up, and I recognize it's not the same in Bibles that you buy today, but back in their time, it really was where the family kept up with birthdays, anniversaries, wedding dates, deaths, and all these things. All that information was just, you know, sort of gathered right there so they could keep up with it. And I thought, man, it's a shame we don't really still kind of use it the way that, that we used to. If people want this book, Kevin, how can they get it?
Amazon, or directly from me. And then I have my email. It's K-R-E, the number 8, I pronounce it create, vision at gmail.com. My number is 701-500-4813. The website is Creative Solutions, K-R-E 8, tivssolutions.org. I'm on my way out. I'm going to drop a few copies off at Lamira.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that'll be here. That'll be the local way to get them. But Amazon is the best way. For speaking presentations, you can use that contact information, because I do a lot of those nowadays. And I just got awarded the 2026 Public Humanities Award from the Mississippi Humanities Council.
Congratulations.
So things are moving, exposure-wise. So, yeah.
We just had them on. They helped support Christmas Around the World with JPS's scholars, doing really good work there. Is the Black History Gallery open?
12 to 4, Monday through Friday. It's located at 819 Wall Street there in Macomb, Mississippi. $5 admission. And the Facebook page is Black History Gallery, and the website is blackhistorygallery.org. Gertrude's Garden is always open, so anytime you want to stop by there, feel free to. And yeah, the residents are always happy when visitors come through to interact with.
How many years now since you got the lot, Gertrude's
2019,
6 years.
That went by fast.
Went by fast.
That's crazy.
All right, well, I guess we'll see you in 2026,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah, well, another book.
Keep writing, keep doing something. You're always welcome back. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate you.
All right, you guys stick with us. We got a few more headlines for you coming up next.
Oh yeah, late night, late night.
This show was previously recorded. This show was previously recorded.
Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on your computer or your mobile device. And don't forget too, Supertalk Mississippi is on TikTok. You can catch clips of the shows, podcasts, sports highlights, and more. Just search for Supertalk over on the Tiki Talks. I don't know if you're supposed to call it that, but that's what I call it because I don't have that. What I do have, though, is Facebook, and we here have our Good Things Facebook group, which we have our ever-growing family there. Thank you to all the newbies that have been joining over the last couple of days and weeks. If you would like just some positive headlines or conversations about Mississippi in your feed, then this is the place for you. You should be a part of that family. No reason not to be. Just type in Good Things With. Rebecca Turner pops up. Click join and boom, you are part of the family. One of the latest stories that I shared there today is the MSU's famous Maroon Band is the 2026 recipient of the prestigious National, Sudler Trophy. It's considered the highest honor of a collegiate marching band can receive. Did I say that right?
Sudler? I'm guessing. I've never heard that word before.
Doesn't matter, but go State, Hell State for that. Pretty cool. I'll have to say the little one was just thrilled with the Maroon Band when they played Tennessee because they did a whole Bluey song and rendition, and they marched and formed into the different like Bluey characters, and I thought, oh my gosh, how cool is that? The kids went crazy. Parents went crazy. If you don't know who Bluey is, you clearly don't have children or grandchildren. That's all I'm gonna say about that. But I thought, man, it was super creative and a highlight there. So congratulations to them as well. Another good story over there that's worth the read is Oakdale Elementary here in Central Mississippi. I think it's monthly that they do that, but they call it Dads at the Door. And it's just where a bunch of dads show up for a drop-off in the morning and give high-five hugs, handshakes, or whatever to all the kids. Very similar if your kids, usually if they go to elementary or middle schools during heightened football season, every Friday you'll have like the cheerleaders or the dance team or the older football team will come out just to say hi to the kiddos and dressed up in their, in their outfits. And the kids absolutely love that, right? Like, and they want your dollar to buy a sticker they don't need to go to something. But this is kind of a play on that. So it's like, oh, you're going through your everyday car rider duties, but yet, oh, you get to be dropped off and there's, you know, something new and shiny there to say hi. And it's just such a positive thing to see. If you watch the video, the kids absolutely love it. Some of the kids, mom's usually on like car rider duty, but dad got special whatever to be there for this particular thing, and the kid didn't realize his dad was gonna be there in the ruds and the hugs and the whatever. It's just it's super sweet. So if you need a smile on your face, then there is a sweet little video and story over there about that. I think that's something more elementary schools could pick up for very easy. Dad's at the Door. The high fives are cool. However, for some of us, and I feel like you fall in line with this, Rhino, if I pulled up to school and my dad was standing at the door, I wouldn't.
I would immediately wonder, what did I do?
Yes, immediately wonder, what did I do wrong? And so, but this is not that. And yeah, my dad wouldn't be there at the door. He would be in the parking lot waiting to take me back home. So, but you need that kind of dad too. So there you go.
My dad always, I wouldn't say he threatened because it wasn't a threat. It was a promise. And it actually happened on multiple occasions where he would always tell me, you never know when or where I'm going to show up.
Oh, it's true.
And it was true. I'd be sitting there in class one day and just look up and there's Dad looking in the window of the classroom door, checking up on me. And, what is he doing here?
And if you are a parent who is well connected, maybe through PTO or whatever it may be, the best is when you have other parents that are there. I mean, they're not spying on your kids, but it's just, hey, saw your kid X, Y, and Z, da da da, and then you say, oh, how was da 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 today? And they're like, what? Wait, how did you know that? Mom has eyes everywhere, and do not forget that she sees and hears everything. At least at school, and anywho, and they need to know that. They need to know you could be creeping in at any time. All right, stick with this. You got more coming up next with the boys with Sports Talk Mississippi from 3 to 6. Rhino and I'll meet you right back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
No, no, don't pass me over. No, 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 don't pass me by. See, I can see good things for you and I. It's good things for you. Here good things for you and I. Here good things for you.
This show was previously
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.